There can be no scarcity in perfect oneness, where you have everything by definition. This quote is from the third book in Gary Renard's trilogy, Love Has Forgotten No One. We can consider this quote New Age, self-help, spiritual-esque, wishful thinking, or we can literally jump into the broad picture. And ask Gary if he believes in reincarnation. He'll answer, no, but I did in a previous life. So, with sense of humor intact, Gary is here. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Gary, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to be here.
I like what you said right off the bat in Love Has Forgotten No One about spirituality has become totally confused with a self-help movement.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And, you know, the book is not putting down the self-help movement. I don't want to be a hypocrite because I've actually used this so-called self-help movement successfully in my own life. It's just that I've come to understand the difference between spirituality and the self-help movement. For example, the self-help movement is very much about getting what you want, about making things happen in the world, and maybe attracting things to you that are outside of you, and kind of like manipulating the level of form. And that's all well and good. Part of the problem with that is that even if it works for you, and it doesn't work for most people, but even if it works for you, people are totally forgetting the fact that even if they get what they want, it doesn't necessarily make them happy. You know, it's been a long time since I read in Reader's Digest that money won't make you happy. And it's like, you know, I think we just want to make sure. You know, we just want to make sure that it won't make us happy. And that's really true of getting what you want. And even if you get what you want, it doesn't fit your pictures because you solve one problem in the world, and then what you get is another problem because, you know, that's the way that life is set up. From the moment that you're born to the moment that you die, you will be presented with an endless series of problems. And the whole thing is designed to keep you distracted and keep your mind focused on the screen that's in front of you, which is really just a projection that is more like a dream than anything else. And we don't realize we're being set up by what I'll call the ego, which is the idea of separation from our source, which I'll get to. But the real difference between that, the self-help movement, and spirituality is that spirituality isn't just about getting what you want. What it's really about is being happy and peaceful and strong regardless of whether or not you get what you want, regardless of what happens in the world. You can get to the point where you can be unaffected by the world. And that's real strength because it's not dependent on what happens in a world of shift and change. So it's really the difference between, you know, the way that it was put 2,000 years ago, building your house upon the rock rather than building your house upon the sand. And the sand is the shifting sands of this world. A world of shift and change where the only thing that you can depend on is that it's not going to be the same 5 minutes from now as it is right now. It's always going to change. It's always going to be different. But it's possible to get to a point where that doesn't matter and that what you really are and where you really are, which can come up in your experience if you practice a certain form of spirituality, that can never change. So now you're putting your faith and your belief in something that can be depended upon instead of something that can never be depended upon. And that's a big difference. And, you know, what if it didn't matter what happened? And, of course, that's blasphemy to the ego. But what if it didn't matter? What if it didn't matter if you got what you want or not? What if you could be happy and peaceful and strong regardless of whether you got what you wanted or not, regardless of what happened? That's real strength. That's real power, something that it is possible to experience even while you appear to be here living as a human being.
Yes, and it's it brings about a certain sense of false power and the big I created, I got this. And then I think also what is an outcome of some of that self-help obsession almost is that it seems to be constantly moving within a framework of fixing and with healing. And I think that in itself as an obsession is an obstacle.
Absolutely. It's like there are two different worlds. There's the world of the ego, which is simply the idea that we've separated ourselves from our source, which is God, and taken on this personal identity, this individual existence that is somehow separate from everybody else and separate from our source. Then there's another world. That is the world of spirit, which is what we really are. But A Course in Miracles, which is mostly what my books are based on, would say that spirit is not a partial attribute. So the way that most people think of spirit, it's still a separation idea. It's like I have an individual soul. And that's still the idea of individuality and personal existence, which is separate from other souls, so it's still just separation. And when A Course in Miracles uses the word spirit, it's not talking about something that is just part of it. It's talking about something that is all of it, exactly the same as its source, exactly the same as God. And it would be kind of like the way that the Course describes the awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside of this oneness and nothing else within. So now you're talking about a choice between two identities. There's the false identity based on separation, which is the ego, and then there's the real you, the real identity, which is spirit. And spirit is something that is exactly the same as its source, which would not be part of it, but would be perfect oneness, and it would be something that would be immortal and something that doesn't change, something that is invulnerable, something that can't be touched by anything in this world, something that can't be affected by anything in this world. And if you choose to see with spiritual sight, which I'll get to, instead of seeing with the ego, and this really involves a choice in what you believe in, if you choose to see with spiritual sight, you can eventually change your experience while you're here from the experience of being a separate body to the experience of being this immortal spirit that is all of it. And your experience can really change. Maybe your body will start to feel lighter. Maybe it'll start to feel more like this figure in a dream that it really is, instead of this heavy thing you have to carry around. Maybe it will become more elastic. Maybe it'll be more difficult to hurt it. That's because as you go along practicing spiritual sight and working with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego, then while you're doing your part, which is a certain kind of forgiveness that is described in my books, and I think that my third book, Love Has Forgotten No One, really takes that all the way to spiritual sight. And if you think that way, then the Holy Spirit is actually healing this stuff that is in your unconscious mind that you can't even see.
Yes.
And all you have to do is take care of your small part, which is to forgive what's right in front of your face. And if you do that a certain way, and it's a certain kind of forgiveness that is not the way that the world traditionally thinks about it, but if you do it, the Holy Spirit is taking care of the big part of the job that you can't see, and that's why your experience will start to change, and there will be things that will happen that used to upset you that don't upset you, because it's not really what you're looking at that is causing you to be upset. As A Course in Miracles puts it, I am never upset for the reason I think. Because we think we're upset because of what's happening out there on the screen. You know, like I think I'm upset because the terrorists are going to blow up my airplane, or I'm not going to have enough money for my retirement, or something like that. And that's never the reason that we're upset. The reason that we're upset is because of the separation. And, you know, people think that they're going to, you know, kind of like heal that by, you know, filling this hole that doesn't even really exist. But their experience is that separation does exist. And the way A Course in Miracles puts it, when it comes to healing this idea of scarcity. It says a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need correct. And the reason that's true is because if you could heal that one real problem, you know, the separation that causes that sense of scarcity and lack, then you would never feel lack. You would always feel abundance. You would always feel like you were taken care of. Even if you were broke, you would always feel like you had everything, because perfect oneness has everything and by definition cannot be lacking anything. And the reason that we feel scarce is because we've invested our belief in a world that is based on lack, because when you don't have everything, then that is where that feeling of lack comes from. But when you're in God, then you do have everything, and you can feel happy and abundant no matter how much you have or don't have. And there's a delicious irony there. And the irony is that if you were coming from a place of abundance and didn't need anything, you would be much more likely to have things come to you. You know, it's like when you're coming from a place of scarcity, you're actually cutting off your source, because it's kind of like you're blocking it with this idea of separation and lack. But if you undo that idea of separation and come from a place of wholeness and abundance and don't need anything, then all of a sudden things might start to show up for you that you never expected.
Right.
And usually it's good things.
And I would like to go back a little bit into forgiveness and how you spoke, how in this latest book of yours you, it's almost like the zenith of forgiveness, for instance, because as popular trends of consciousness are going on in our world, the idea of forgiveness also changes along with that. And I know you travel and lecture extensively, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about this. And I think the fact that we're going to be talking about it, the collective is getting a handle on it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a big difference between the way that the world thinks about forgiveness traditionally, which goes something like, well, I'm forgiving you, but you really did it, and it's your fault. But I'm forgiving you, and you know, because I'm more spiritual than you are. And, so you're forgiven. You're still going to hell, but, you know, maybe if you agree with me about everything and, you know, subscribe to the right religion or denomination, then maybe you can go to heaven too. But I doubt it. And, what that does to your mind when you think that way, because it's all based on separation, then it sends a message to your own unconscious mind that that's what you are. Because you're not saying that they're really innocent. You're saying that they really did it. And the key to true forgiveness, as the Course would put it, would be to not be coming from a place of effect. You know, if you're coming from a place of effect, there is a world outside of you that did it to you, and that makes you a victim. And there's no power in being a victim. There's no power in being at the effect of the world. If you're at the effect of the world, it will affect you. But the truth is, the only reason that the world can affect you is because you've invested your belief in it, and you're saying that there's a real world out there that is coming at me that I need to do something about. And the kind of forgiveness that A Course in Miracles is talking about does not say that. It's saying that the world is not being done to me. It's not coming at me. The world is actually being done by me. You know, it's a projection that is coming from me. I can't see the projector because it's my own unconscious mind, and I'm viewing this projection with the conscious mind. So it's like the American Indians, they used to say, behold the great mystery. Well, the way A Course in Miracles puts it, it says, behold the great projection, because that's all that it really is. There isn't really any universe of time and space that is out there. It's really just a projection that is coming from you. And there's a real world that is just beyond the projection, and it's everywhere, but people don't see it. And that's the world of spirit, which we will kind of like awaken to in our awareness through this kind of forgiveness, where you work with the Holy Spirit and forgive people not because they've really done something. You forgive people because they haven't really done anything, because you're the one who made them up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the Course puts it, it says forgiveness does not pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin. And in that view are all your sins forgiven. I might add that only in that view are all your sins forgiven, and that's because of the way that the unconscious mind works. Your unconscious mind knows everything. It would have to, by definition, because that's where the projection of the universe of time and space is coming from in the first place. So your unconscious mind knows everything, even the truth. And one of the things that it knows is that there's really just one of us. You know, we look out there and we see almost 7 billion people, which is all based on separation. And it's a trick. It's a lie. It's like an illusion in a movie theater. You walk into the movie theater, the lights go down, and you forget that what you're seeing on the screen isn't true. You start to invest your belief in it and kind of like get into the story, and after a while you may even become emotional about the story. You might even talk to the screen. You might say, no, don't go there. You know, and it's like you're making it real in your mind, which is exactly what we've done with, you know, this kind of like movie that we're looking at, which is very much like a dream. And what the Course is saying is, no, what you need to do is withdraw your belief from something that is not dependable and put that belief where it belongs. And where that belief belongs is in God, which is reality. And then you can start to get that you're not a victim and that you're forgiving people because it's your projection. So you're not really forgiving them because of what they've done. You're forgiving them and yourself for having this dream. And then you can start to awaken from the dream. In fact, part of that process is to realize that you're dreaming. You know, it's kind of like having a lucid dream. You know, you start to realize, well, okay, this isn't true, and I can still have a normal life. I can still, you know, carry on a normal conversation with somebody. But at the end of the day, in the back of my mind, I know who they really are and where they really are. So true forgiveness, to put it briefly, does three things. First of all, you notice yourself reacting to the world or feeling uncomfortable. And you catch yourself, because that's the ego. Because the ego wants you to be uncomfortable, because the ego likes this idea of separation. It wants to keep it going through judgment and making it real. Because to the ego, this universe feels special. It feels important to have an individual identity and a personal existence. And then you can stop thinking with the ego, start thinking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a totally different story. You know, the Holy Spirit is saying, well, look, what you're seeing is not true. So you can forgive these people for nothing because they haven't really done anything, because they're not even people. What they really are is this perfect spirit. And that's something that my teachers, Arden and Persa, have really emphasized in the third book of the Disappearance Trilogy. It's like they're saying, look, don't make it real. You know, and if you can do that, like, you know, it's like if you start to get upset about something, well, you must be making it real. Because if you weren't making it real, you wouldn't be upset. You know, so now you can start to think differently and saying, look, I don't have to make this real. Nothing is happening. Nothing can hurt me. In fact, there's nothing in this world that can hurt you or make you feel bad unless you give it the power to do so. And the way that you give it your power is through your belief. And now what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do is, you know, take away that belief and put it where it belongs. And then you can start to see with spiritual sight, because once you realize that all that you're seeing is a projection that is coming from you, then you can kind of like overlook the projection. You can kind of like overlook the body, even though you're still going to see bodies and you're still going to interact and you can have normal relationships with bodies. You're kind of like thinking outside of the box now. You're thinking with the Holy Spirit, and you're looking just beyond the veil, so to speak, and you're saying, well, you know, what you really are is not that body. What you really are is this perfect spirit, which is exactly the way that God created you, and you're not just part of it. You're all of it. You're something that is bigger than the universe of time and space. You're something that cannot even be contained by the universe of time and space. And it's totally innocent, completely holy, and that's what you really are. And because of what we said about the way that the unconscious mind works, that it knows that there's really just one of it. That means that your unconscious mind will interpret anything that you think about another person to really be about you, because it knows that there's really just one of us. And that's a pretty sobering thought, because it means that anything that you think about another person is really going to you, and it will determine how you feel about yourself, and even ultimately what you believe you are. So through this kind of forgiveness, you actually determine what you are and the way that you feel, and the Holy Spirit at the same time is kind of like removing this unconscious guilt that is in the mind that can be traced all the way back to the original idea of separation from God. And the mind is actually being healed, guilt is being removed, and you suffer less, and you're doing a process of undoing the ego, which is the false you. As the Course in Miracles puts it, salvation is undoing. And if you could finish that job and undo the false you, which is the ego, then eventually the real you would be all that's left. And that's a brilliant approach, because you don't have to do anything about the real you. The real you is already perfect. The real you is already there. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is undo. Undo the false you, and the real you will be there in your experience. And that's the approach of the Course in Miracles. And my teachers in all three books, The Disappearance of the Universe, Your Immortal Reality, and now Love Is Forgotten No One, they've kind of like, you know, put it all together in a trilogy. And part of the reason that it's a trilogy is because it kind of like completes the stories of these people that are related in three different lifetimes. You have, you know, Thomas and Thaddeus 2,000 years ago. You have Cindy and I in this lifetime, and you have Arden and Persa, the teachers in the books, and they live their final lifetime, 100 years from now, in Chicago. And it really shows how everything is tied together, everything is related, and even the lessons that you have from lifetime to lifetime are connected. At one point, Course in Miracles says, trials are but lessons presented once again. So that where you made a faulty choice before, now you can make a better one, and thus escape all the pain that your previous decision has brought to you. Well, that's not true just in one dream lifetime. It's kind of like serial dreams, and it goes from lifetime to lifetime. If you don't complete a lesson in one lifetime, then you're going to get another chance. And when it talks about choosing, it means choosing the Holy Spirit instead of the ego, which is our real power in this world. The Course says the power of decision is your one remaining power as a prisoner of this world. You can decide to see it right. You can decide to see it with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. And the Holy Spirit thinks in terms of wholeness and oneness and innocence. And the ego thinks in terms of separation and differences. You know, the ego loves differences, because you know, how can you have judgment without differences? And how can you keep the world going if you don't believe in it? And it's like you're shifting your belief and your identity to a bigger reality, and you're awakening to what you really are. And the Holy Spirit is thinking in terms of oneness and wholeness. And if you want to be spirit in your experience instead of a body, then you want to think like the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit thinks in terms of oneness and wholeness. At one point, the Course says, everywhere the Holy Spirit looks, he sees himself. You know, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit sees innocence and oneness everywhere. And if you do that, then in your experience, if you do that long enough and often enough, then in your experience, you will start to shift to what you really are. It's like you're graduating to a higher life form.
Yes. Gary, what is it like for you now that you've been obviously aware and studying and practicing and living in this world? What is it like for you emotionally? I mean, do you still get caught up in your emotions? Do you watch a movie and cry or laugh? Well, obviously you would laugh in a movie. I know you have a great sense of humor. But are you getting caught up in emotions and and then catch yourself, or what is it like for you now?
I might start to react a little bit to something, like, you know, if I'm on the internet and all of a sudden somebody says something very unpleasant about me, which is, been going on for about 10 years or 11 years ever since my first book came out, then that's a perfect opportunity. And if I notice myself getting the slightest bit irritated or anxious, then I catch myself right away. And I know that that's the ego, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't make you feel that way. So I think part of the key is to catch yourself as quickly as possible. You have to monitor not just your thoughts, but also your feelings, because people are actually more likely to act out of their feelings than anything. And if you're starting to feel, you know, that uncomfortable feeling, that's the ego. You have to recognize it right away and start thinking with the Holy Spirit instead, because you can't do both at the same time. The ego and the Holy Spirit represent two complete and mutually exclusive thought systems, and you can't do both at the same time. And if you can catch yourself really quick and start thinking with the Holy Spirit is going to say, look, first of all, stop making it real, because you wouldn't start to feel upset if you weren't making it real. And the second that I remember that, which happens very quickly, then I'm very peaceful, because I realize, look, there's nothing here to react to. It's almost like you're playing a video game, and what you're seeing is not true, and it can't hurt you. And once you start thinking like that, thinking with the Holy Spirit, then you can graduate to that level of spiritual sight where you realize that, okay, that person that seems to be doing that, well, they think that they're a body and they think that they're separate, but I know better. I know what they really are, and then I can think of them as being this perfect spirit, which is really all of it, knowing that if I think that way, then that is how I will feel about myself, and I will even establish my identity to be that.
Yes, and I'm glad that quite early on in the interview today, you started speaking about spiritual sight, because I know this might be mincing words, but I think it's difficult to be in thought and out of ego at the same time. It's almost like spirit and spiritual sight, just like if someone is clairaudient or clairsentient, ultimately it's all the same kind of seeing. And I feel like it is another avenue or dimension away from the thought process.
Right. And I think the important thing to remember about thought is that it leads to experience. You know, it's like the thoughts come first and the experience follows. So, yes, eventually you're going to be in that experience where you don't have to think, where it's just this perfect abstraction that is spirit. And what will happen is that gradually you will go in and out of that, and then eventually that spirit will become your permanent experience. But when that happens, you're just about at the end of the line, because there's not much more to learn. So it'll happen gradually at first, and you'll get glimpses of the truth, and then eventually you will completely experience the truth. But it's important to choose either the thought system of the ego or the thought system of the Holy Spirit, because whichever one you choose will determine your experience of what you really are and where you really are.
Love Has Forgotten No One is Gary Renard's latest book. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. For podcasting on iTunes, it's Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.